Amen. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 133. I wonder, can I ask you to read for me, let's see, one of the young people back there. Walter, would you like to do that? Psalm 133? Thank you.
Beyond how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessings, life forever.
Thank you, Walter. Now, that psalm, of course, is not unfamiliar to those who are familiar with the scriptures. It is a psalm of David. David wrote almost half the psalms. Sometimes, perhaps some may think that he wrote them all. He didn't write them all. He wrote a little less than half of them. His psalms are quite a variety. You get the prayers, you get the psalms that invoke the Lord's judgment against his enemies. You get the psalms that are prophetic of the Lord Jesus. And all of it flows out of particular experiences that David had. God chose him and put him through the paces so that he had to pass through all kinds of experiences to discover the many beautiful aspects of godly life that God used him to put down in the Psalms. And this one, I cannot tell you exactly what experience it was it arose out of, but I imagine that David was really reflecting on, you know, he was a man of war, of course, you know that so much of his life was spent fighting. But when he would come home, he would hope to have peace among the people who are his brothers, with whom he is identified. It's enough to be out there on the battlefield. But when I come home, there should be peace. And he must have experienced it here and there. And here he talks about how special it is. He says, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Now, everybody likes the result of that. But it's not easy to make it happen. Happily, we don't have to make everybody to do it. We are called upon to do it ourselves. So this matter of dwelling in unity really is an appeal to me alone, because I alone can take the initiative to do what makes for peace, what makes for unity. Now, do not misunderstand. Unity does not mean unanimity. Unanimity is when we all agree on something. We all agree on this. Everybody has the same thought. That's fine. Anybody can occupy that place. But we are called upon to be in unity where there is not unanimity. That's a little more difficult. a lot more difficult. In fact, in some places, the culture, some places that say we are for the Lord, the culture is that if you don't agree with me, immediately you become an enemy. That's sad. That should not be the case among Christians. We agree. That's wonderful. But we also disagree. That does not excuse us from the responsibility of being together in unity, to dwell in unity. So David reflects on it. He must have had some experience that is very special to him here. He begins to compare it with the things that are pleasant. He says, it is like, for brethren to dwell together in unity, for brothers to dwell together in unity is like what? How would you describe it? What would you say it's like? Well, David says, it is like precious oil. You know what oil is like? People often talk about something going down like oil, nice and smooth. It doesn't jar. It doesn't hurt. It just moves smoothly. But he says, it is like precious oil. And he's talking about something very special, a special oil. Oil upon the head, he says, coming down upon the beard. Okay? Oil on the head, flowing down on the beard. But he's talking about a special beard, a special head. And that is the head of the high priest. The high priest, Aaron, the first of the high priests in Israel. And there was a requirement for the priest to be anointed. But he was not anointed with just any oil. It was a special oil. And I'm going to ask someone to read about that oil. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. I think, Brother Gabe, if you would be so kind to read for us, Exodus 30, and let me see, what verses might that be? From verse 34 to the end.
Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices, sakti and ancha, and galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. And with it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. And the incense which you shall make, you shall not make it in the same proportions for yourselves. Shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people.
Thank you, Brother Gabe. Now, so David was saying that when brothers, and we are brothers, we're brothers at some level, no matter who you are, we're brothers at some level. And if you are to be together, you want to be together in unity and peace. And that is described by David as being as pleasant as oil flowing down the head to the beard. But it isn't just the feel of it. It is what it does to the whole atmosphere. He says, it is precious like oil, even that flows down to the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down on the edge of his robes. That is a fragrant oil that fills the atmosphere. You've had experiences of being in an environment that is very pleasant to be in, where you are comfortable, where you are enjoying the quality of the environment, the interaction, the exchange. Everything is characterized by this spirit of unity. We belong to each other, we're saying all the time. We belong to each other. We're not on opposite sides. We belong to each other. And we are able to exhibit that. Not when we make a decision in our head that we're going to be agreeable, because that doesn't work. That goes only so far, and then it fizzles. But it is when we are enjoying the Lord Himself. When I am at one with the Lord, I am at one with my brethren. I cannot be at one with the Lord and be at variance with my brethren. So let's disabuse ourselves of the notion that I can be right with the Lord, but you see him over there, he is suspect to me. I don't trust him. He did something that I didn't like, and I thought it was terrible. He might have. But the point is that we won't forget that he is the Lord's. And we have a responsibility, of course, to help him in that situation, to help him out of it, in opposition to him. That's the choice we usually make. We say, well, he's out of order, I don't like what he does, so I will be in opposition to him. That's not the solution. The solution is to be a help to him. You which are spiritual, restore such an one. Among the Lord's people, there are no sides. There's only one side. That is the Lord's side. And every believer should be on that side. Now, it doesn't mean that we agree with everything everybody else thinks. But whatever we think, whatever our viewpoint is, it is made subject to the Lord's presence, which is a presence of good order and of goodwill, flowing from one to the other all the time. I'm not carrying around a grudge. I'm not carrying around a suspicion. I'm not allowing myself to become a part of a clique here because there's a clique over there that is conspiring to do something that I don't think is right that I disagree with. That is the way to just exacerbate the situation. Just escalate. God has saved us and He has placed in us the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has that same Spirit dwelling in us. And we're not robots. We are given the capacity to think different things. But that's the beauty of it all. That we can think different things and yet all together be subject to the one person, the Lord Jesus. Let me introduce still another passage of Scripture, and should we ask somebody else to read this? Proverbs, it's going to be. Proverbs. Chapter 6. And from verse 16, okay, who would like to read that for us? One of the young people back there? Anybody volunteering?
So Proverbs 6, 16?
Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16.
There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. 40 eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to just read the verses 18 and 19 in my New American Standard. A heart, among the things that God hates, is a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. These are the things that are exactly opposite to what we have in Psalm 33. All of these actions result in disharmony. They result in disunity. And we're told that God hates them. Among God's people, there's to be unity. The Lord Jesus said, "You are one. All of us together are one." And then, if we are one and a part of one house, he says, if you are divided, you can't stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. In a local assembly where we are representing the house of God, if we are divided, we can't stand. Now, sometimes in our disagreements, I have my view, and I want to see that view prevail. But there's my brother over here who has a view, and he wants to see his view prevail. He thinks his view is a better one than mine. I think mine is a better one than his. Where's the resolution? The resolution is when we both can lay them down before the Lord and not be anxious about whether our view prevail or not. If I lay it before the Lord, he is greater than both of us. And he's able to, he may choose to synthesize our separate views, or he may choose to judge them all, both to be wrong and inappropriate. He may choose the view of one and reject the view of the other. In any case, it's all submitted to him. And that's important, that it be submitted to him. And if I care about him more than I care about my view, you see, I say that I want this because I want the Lord to be honored. Okay? So I say, I'm insisting on this because this is for the Lord. But at the same time, I just forge a division. And I'll fight to the end until for my this view. How is God honored in that? But if I could lay at his feet, and that's what faith does. When we really are trusting God, we don't have to fight to have it go my way. Just do before God what is right and let him do it. He'll make it right. So we're called by David, who is a fighting man. He fought for righteousness. God gave him his charge and uniquely equipped him to fight. Read Psalm 18, 2 Samuel chapter 22, and see how God used David as a fighter. Well, there's a place for battle, for fighting, but not among brethren. Not among brethren. So, brethren are to dwell together in unity, even where there is not unanimity. So that I have a divergent point of view, it is not an occasion, it is not necessarily something that must bring a rift. Because if I am willing to lay my point of view before the Lord, because, Lord, this is for you. Even if it's for the Lord, can't we leave it with him? Brethren, and churches are divided all over the place. We're picking up the litter resulting from it. With the sides, sometimes two sides, sometimes multiple sides. Divided. You can only be so divided if Christ is secondary. Don't tell me that you are divided because you are fighting for Christ. If I fight for Christ, I will understand that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, 2 Corinthians 10 reminds us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we take the weapons that are used in the world and use them against each other. What is the result? The result is that we're all damaged. We're all injured. And the house collapses. Give it up. Give it up. If it's for Christ, you can afford to give it up. You can't lose if you give it up to him. But if I insist on my way, I'll drag the house down. And the God whom I say I am serving is dishonored by me. The enemy is ever present. He's always looking to get the thin edge of a wedge in the door. And then he will pry it open little by little when we allow him that place. But we can deny him. We can deny him that. And you know how we can deny the enemy the opportunity? By refusing to succumb to the natural impulse that I have, that I've got to win. I've got to win. That's the sure way to lose. Sadly, you lose not only for yourself, you lose for the cause that you claim to be representing. The enemy is busy. He's wily. And he's persistent. But we don't need to succumb to his wiles. If we are willing to deny self, and that's what the Lord Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Can we do that? That's tough. Deny self. No, I want to win. That's my natural impulse. And I think that I have not won. I think that I'm losing if I don't fight. And you've got to fight for your point of view, they would say. It's okay. Yes, you have to fight. Sometimes, however, it isn't fighting the person out there. Sometimes it's fighting the person in here. Yes, you have to fight. Satan has a way of setting things up, luring unwary persons to it, and then he stands outside and watches them fight them and destroy themselves, destroy each other. And so the house that they represent It's a serious matter, and I want to encourage us to pay close attention to it. It's sweet when it goes right. You know how good it is when you meet somebody and the person is smiling and he says, oh, can I help you? Or you say, wow, that's a nice person. I want to get to know him better. And you're drawn out to get to closer to him because he has been very gracious and self-deprecating, maybe, in a way that makes you feel more comfortable. David says it's like that oil is fragrant. He says it's like the dew that comes down from Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the highest peak in Israel. That was David's reference point. And during the hot periods, when it's scorching down below, there is still the snow caps of Mount Hermon. That scorching heat melts and allows to flow down. He says it's refreshing. So it's refreshing. It's fragrant, like the oil. It is refreshing, like the cool vapor that comes down from Hermon. And that is within our reach. Not by battering a brother over the head so that he will just bow to my view, but by my being on my face in humility before the Lord. And he will take care of my brother, who I think is acting like my enemy. We're not enemies. We're brethren. And so may God help us to be mindful of this and to be at pains to see that we are not among those who are pulling the house down, but rather building it up. What a privilege. Our God and Father, we thank you for lifting us up to such a very special privilege. We pray that you might help us to be full of faith and so faithful in how we discharge the responsibilities connected with our privileges. In Jesus' name, amen.